This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today and Snowbird Gate World, and we're about to talk to Lawrence Kaplan, who's active in organizing Operation Snowbird. Welcome to California Politics Today and Snowbird Gate World.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give a little bit about your background, in particular the litigation that you were involved in to try to make Vice President Cheney be honest?
Well, that was way back 4 years ago in the 2000 presidential election, and that had to do with the 12th Amendment and the fact that Cheney, who had lived and worked in Texas for about 8 years prior to the election.
That was while he was running Halliburton.
That's correct. That's right. He lived in Dallas, and he had a large home in Highland Park, a suburb of Dallas. Anyways, he switched his voter registration at the very last minute to Wyoming in order to avoid the effect of the 12th Amendment, which states that the president and vice president on any particular ticket cannot both be from the same state. If they're from the same state, if their residents or inhabitants, as the 12th Amendment actually states, are from the same individual state, then the electors in that state are not allowed under the terms of the 12th Amendment to cast their electoral votes for that ticket.
Of course, this was set up by the founders as a way of keeping either Massachusetts or Virginia or some other place from essentially monopolizing the power in the federal government.
That's correct.
Right.
And in this case, obviously Cheney had grown up in Wyoming,
right,
and had gone to school there and had actually represented the Wyoming in the House of Representatives. But the problem is that while you know that's all well and good, he actually was a resident of Texas for the previous 8 years prior to running for office for vice president. And interestingly enough, under the Wyoming Constitution, if a person has availed themselves of the benefits of residency of any of the other states during the past year, they are not legally allowed to hold themselves out as a Wyoming resident. And within the past year, in the year 2000, Cheney had taken the homestead exemption in Texas on his multimillion-dollar home in Highland Park.
What's the homestead exemption?
Homestead exemption is a tax break, basically, for people who own property, residential property, in Texas, and it actually operates in Florida as well, and they get a reduction in the property tax.
And it's only available to legal residents of the state?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So he had taken advantage of that. So he had, you know, availed himself of the benefits of Texas residency within the year 2000, and then had registered to vote in Wyoming, but shouldn't have been able to because under Wyoming law, he really was not a resident of Wyoming.
Well, this sounds like an open and shut case to me. What happened?
Well, what happened was I filed a lawsuit in Florida. It was thrown out for improper jurisdiction because the federal judge in Miami said that it should be brought in Texas because that's where the electors were,
right,
which was an accurate ruling, I believe. And then it was refiled in Texas, and it went before federal judge Sidney Fitzwater in Dallas, who was appointed by President Reagan and who Jeb Bush's son recently clerked for.
Right. Had just recently clerked for at the time.
He just recently clerked for him now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the last couple of years.
Right.
Okay. But anyways, Judge Fitzwater dismissed the case, finding that on various legal grounds that Cheney was actually a resident of Wyoming. And actually, he really, the residency issue was kind of a red herring because the 12th Amendment says you must be an inhabitant.
Right.
So it's not really enough, even if you have residency. Inhabitants is actually a higher standard.
And that's pretty clearly defined in the relevant statutes?
Residency has been much more clearly defined because of tax issues and such. Inhabitants is really something that hadn't been dealt with that much, and we had to go back to the history books. But it was clear that an inhabitant is someone who presently resides in the state physically, and Cheney, you know, certainly didn't meet that criteria.
Okay.
It went through the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals before a three-judge panel, two of whom were appointed by George H.W. Bush and one by Reagan, and they upheld it, and then the Supreme Court decided not to grant certiorari.
So you lost that one.
That's correct.
Well, ironically,
Reporters kind of burned out, I think, on
right.
the whole election thing.
Right. Ironically or not, this issue of inhabitancy, residency, and being able to vote or run for office from is kind of what's involved here with Operation Snowbird, isn't it?
Yeah, to a great degree it is. One does have something to do with the other, although I really didn't link the two right away.
Right. Of course, in the old days of the 18th century, these didn't really come up. People, mobility and communications and transportation were such that a resident of Massachusetts would have been hard put to become a resident of Virginia at the same time.
Exactly.
Whereas now, it's as easy as falling off of a log. So let's talk about that. This particular story started for me when I read an article by Russ Buettner in the New York Daily News saying that 46,000 people were registered both in New York City and in Florida to vote, and that many of them, over 1,000 apparently, had voted in 2000 in both elections. And I'm still following up the implications of all that, but let's talk about what your take on that was and what you did in response.
Well, I had no knowledge whatsoever of that article. Being down in Florida, I had not read that article, and I basically came to the idea behind Operation Snowbird independently. It was just based upon a realization that there's a lot of people from New York and New Jersey and other states, including California, by the way, who spend their winters in Florida and who avail themselves of some of the benefits of Florida residency by getting Florida driver's licenses, which are you're allowed to hold a Florida driver's license and a license from another state, and taking advantage of the Florida homestead exemption and so forth. And I realized I researched the Florida voter registration statute, which is very vague and subject to broad interpretation, sort of like our election statute was 4 years ago. And I realized that someone who has a legitimate address in Florida, even if it's just a rental address, but who holds themselves out as a Florida resident or with the intent to become a Florida resident, has every right to register to vote in Florida.
Okay, now focus on that, hold themselves out or has intent. What are the legal meanings of those terms?
Well, that's an excellent question. And again, the statute is quite vague, but what it seems to indicate is, under the statute, is that if you have a Florida address,
right.
Okay, and have proof of that address, such as a utility bill, driver's license, even a membership in a condominium association.
Right.
But if you have any of that identification, and if you fill out the Florida voter registration application and sign the sworn declaration that you intend to be a Florida resident or wish to be considered a Florida resident, that you are allowed to register to vote in Florida. And that you can be a Florida resident without actually spending the majority of the year in Florida.
Because you've stated your legal intent to become a resident.
That's right, with having the legitimate Florida address. So someone who has no connection to Florida whatsoever would not be able to do this because they would not be able to provide a Florida address with some identification with their name on it.
Does a hotel count?
The problem there would be, of course, discerning the intent of the voter and whether, and a hotel is obviously a transitory place of residence.
Unless you're that little girl who lives at the hotel in New York.
Yeah, exactly. I would say that in general that wouldn't be good enough.
Okay.
Unless you could show that you were living in the hotel, you know, for a long period of time, for
right.
reasons.
Right. Right. And not to get too minutely into the nuances right. of the language, though, when you state your intent to be a resident, since the essence of this is that you can sort of be a floating resident, a multiple resident, a part-time resident, you're not saying that you intend to only reside, live, sleep, eat, work in Florida, or retire in Florida, but that you're going to primarily do it, or principally do it, or somewhat do it? You see what I'm asking? In other words,
sure.
if you say, what's the law on that?
Well, I mean, it hasn't really been litigated.
Right.
But I can tell you, I've practiced law in Florida, and I've practiced law in California.
Right.
And I think I can say pretty clearly that California is a lot stricter with respect to these sort of things.
Right.
In Florida, you know, we don't have an income tax, and the ability for, because Florida sets itself up as a state where it wants to attract homeowners, because Florida derives most of its revenue from property tax.
Right.
It's very liberal with respect to people being able to maintain a legitimate legal residence in the state of Florida.
Another word for liberal is inclusive. In other words, the state wants to include a lot of people as homeowners.
That's right.
So they can get the tax.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Now, obviously, there used to be tax refugees from Britain, as remember, or the people who would come to Los Angeles to live so that they wouldn't have to pay. Michael Caine, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. did that. And this is kind of another variant of it, because they're now many cases of dual citizenship in the world. People can be Israelis and Americans. Mexico just said that if you're a naturalized American citizen of Mexican origin, you can still be a Mexican citizen.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, really, we're sort of taking this to the and next level and saying, yeah, you can be a resident of more than one state.
Right.
Now you cannot
right.
be a resident of more than one state for purposes of casting your vote. You know, you might be able to, I don't know what the rules are in other countries, you might be able to get away with casting a vote in Israel, for example, and also voting in the U.S.
Right.
for dual citizenship.
Right.
But if you're a New Yorker, for example, you have a property in New York and also one in Florida, and you wish to vote in Florida, and you register to do so, that's all well and good, but you cannot vote in New York. And that's what I believe that article you were alluding to
right.
was getting at. I'm not advocating for people to vote in more than one state.
Right.
Not at all. What I'm advocating is for people to, because of the Electoral College system and the way it works, to cast their vote in a state where their vote counts for more because of the potential closeness of the election.
Right. Now, what I'm thinking is, as we're focusing on this, is that the crime and the alleged crime committed by some of these people is voting twice in a federal election. Let's take a person who's a resident of New York and Florida, or Florida and California. Should they be able to vote in the? It seems reasonable to assume that they should only be able to vote once in the, quote, federal election
right.
for Congress, people, senators, and president
sure.
and vice president. But what about California propositions, or what about Brevard County commissioners? Should they be able to vote in Florida and California for non-federal and then vote where it doesn't matter, except, of course, in Congress, where they'd have to choose which congressional race they wanted to run in?
I think the answer really to that is no, and it's because of the fact that you really have to choose which state you want to call your home. Like in the U.S., you couldn't have two tax homes. You can only have one state as your tax home.
All right.
And so I think that even though I can see that if you have a foot in both states and want to vote in the local referendum and so forth, I think you really do have to pick and say, okay, I want to be a Floridian for purposes of voter registration, or I want to be a Californian.
Okay.
I don't think you can have it both ways.
Okay. Do you have to have your voting foot in the same state as your tax foot?
Yes.
So wherever your tax...
Yes. Again, if you register to vote
right.
in Florida, for example,
right.
okay, then during that period of time when you're registered to vote in Florida, you need to file tax returns from the state of Florida.
My guess is that the property taxes that you mentioned, if you own property in Florida and you're there and you're registered to vote, you have to pay the property taxes on that property, not in on a prorated basis, but on an annual basis, right?
That's true.
And if you're back in, but what if you own property in New York and you're a resident in New York? Do you have to pay property taxes on those on an annual basis?
Because you, even if you're not a resident of Florida,
right.
if you have property in Florida, you're still going to have to pay property taxes.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter where you reside, you have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about the political implications and why you think it's a good idea for people who could register in New York or could register in Florida that they should register in Florida.
Well, now we're getting to an issue of strategy
right.
and sort of, you know, gaming the Electoral College.
Right.
I mean, think of it this way. I mean, your vote, your individual vote under the Electoral College system does not count equally
right.
depending on what state you're from.
No, I was listening to a discussion this morning on radio here about Colorado has a measure up to divide its Electoral College vote proportionally, and that led to a discussion of people in smaller states, Wyoming, have more of a vote in the Electoral College than people in more populous states, Texas, California, New York.
Right. Well, if Colorado had had proportional voting in 2000, Gore would have won the presidency.
Right.
And now it's interesting because you can look at this a whole number of different ways. Let's say that in California, for example, okay, the election was absolutely tied.
Right.
And you were the tie-breaking vote.
Right.
Okay. Your vote would obviously be incredibly significant because your vote would decide which candidate would receive California's, like,
55
electoral votes.
Right.
Okay. Let's say now you were in Wyoming, and Wyoming was an absolute tie.
Right.
And you were the tie-breaking vote. Your vote would obviously be a lot less important because it would only be deciding who receives three electoral votes.
Right.
So that's one aspect of it where the big state is more important than the small state.
Right.
But then you have the situation like this year or in 2000 where you have a very close race in the Electoral College, okay?
Right.
Because all the polls seem to indicate while Bush may be ahead by 3 to 4 points, the Electoral College is much closer,
right.
And it could be a flip-flop of 2000 where Bush could conceivably win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College.
Right.
So what happens is that you have a state like California where Kerry is far ahead. Well, nobody's going to come to California.
Right.
Nobody's going to run ads in California.
Right, nobody
so
is.
The vote in California becomes somewhat insignificant. Now, in a state...
Although, of course, with 55 votes, it's vote for Kerry if that's what who carries it is, of course, important.
That's right. If you're right, exactly. But if you're voting, if you're one person and you're voting for Kerry,
right.
Obviously you're not going to sway the state. And if you're voting for Bush,
right.
You know, you could view it as a wasted vote.
Right.
Might as well just stay at home.
Right.
Now, in 2000, Bush won Florida by 537 votes. Gore won New York by 1.7 million.
Right.
If 538 of those 1.7 million Democrats or people who voted for Gore, I should say,
right.
Had chosen to cast their ballot in Florida instead, Gore would have won the election.
Unless, of course, the voting count had stopped before they were counted.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's the strategy. So what have you done to publicize your strategy, and what have you done to make sure people obey the law in following it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what I did to promote it was I created this website, Operation Snowbird.
Give us the URL.
I'm sorry?
The URL, so everyone can go?
It's www.operationsnowbird.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And that has a complete explanation of the theory behind why I created the site. And basically, we have had a lot of problems in Florida since the 2000 election. The voter, we were supposed to be receive millions of dollars in funding to sort of correct our system, which never showed up. We also had this very infamous felon list where 40,000, in excess of 40,000 felons who were eliminated from the voting rolls. It turned out that 90% of them were African Americans, and there were only like 20 Hispanics on the list. And of course, most of the African Americans are Democratic, and the Hispanics, at least in South Florida, are Republicans. And then it was quite a big scandal, and they just had to get rid of the felon list completely. So, and then, of course, we have the other issue regarding these new electronic voting machines we have that do not have paper trails. And while I read that the California Secretary of State had stated that they would not allow them in California without paper trails, in Florida, our Secretary of State said, hey, let's not make a big deal about it. You know, we think that'll work just fine. So, of course, you know, the one thing we know will work is there won't be any kind of paper trail to go back and look at.
So even if you get 46,000 new voters, things could still be pretty much fouled up, couldn't they?
Well, you know, that's true. But, hey, you know, we still have to fight the good fight.
Right.
And so I set this up, and it's basically an informational website. I'm not, you know, directly advocating for people to vote one way or the other. Certainly people who support Bush could register in Florida and vote for Bush, but the idea is simply that there will be a large margin of victory for Kerry in New York State, and certainly also in California. And if there are individuals who are registered to vote in either New York or California or other states, which may be Bush states, that you know, these people want to vote for Kerry, and they have a Florida address and an intent to establish Florida residency, the site provides them with the wherewithal to be able to do that.
In fact, what this is a one aspect, it seems to me, of a larger effort to game the system. There's emerging again, because of the anomaly here, that a vote in New York for Kerry isn't worth as much as it is in Florida. And then there's the Nader factor, and a few people still want to say, you know, we like Ralph, but they don't want to harm Kerry's chances. People are opting for vote swapping, which is illegal, which is, as far as I can see, isn't very reliable either.
They did that 4 years ago with NaderTrader.
Right. .com,
which I don't know how effective that was, but obviously it wasn't effective enough.
Because,
yeah. now this year Nader is on the ballot again in Florida.
Right.
And of course we also have had these four hurricanes, which pretty much all four of the hurricanes went through areas that are bush country,
right,
for the most part. They didn't impact South Florida too much, Broward and Dade counties.
Right.
So that is probably disadvantageous to Bush, because a lot of these people are just not even going to bother voting.
Is that because it hasn't reached the level of voting records or whatever? It's just sort of the mood of the people who have been affected?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, when you're homeless,
right,
probably not number one on your radar screen,
right,
to vote.
Right.
You know, the people are just, I mean, very, you know, just trying to get their lives back together.
Right.
But,
so, right. In a sense, though, what you're doing would take advantage of a form. If people were really, really motivated in favor of a particular candidate, they would pack up and move to another state where their vote counted more. But in fact, what you're saying, because people have multiple residencies already, it's only a matter of the registration that has to change, not anything actual or physical, and therefore they ought to take advantage of that opportunity to register their primary place of vote, their sole place of voting in Florida.
Now, you know, I don't have any idea what the law is in Nevada, for example.
Right.
But Nevada is also a close state.
Right.
And I imagine that there's probably, you know, any number of Californians who have a second home in Las Vegas or something.
Yes, I'm sure
they
are.
They could probably, you know, they would at least theoretically be able to do the same thing, although I have no idea if the Nevada voter registration statute is as liberal and wide open as Florida's is.
Now, have you taken any interest in seeing that happen yourself, or do it with, or encourage others to set something similar up for casino birds or whatever?
Not at all, because I've just concentrated on dealing with my own state, and if other people want to jump on the bandwagon, that's all well and good. But I mean, let's face it, Florida has 27 electoral votes,
right,
and if just the way the math works, if Bush doesn't win Florida, it makes it very, very difficult for him to come up with the 270 votes.
Okay, now Catherine Harris went to Congress, and Glenda Hood became Secretary of State.
Right,
I've read
mayor of Orlando.
I'm sorry.
She was the mayor of Orlando.
Mayor of Orlando, right. And should she campaign with Mickey Mouse at any point? Do you think
No comment.
Okay. How does she feel about your Operation Snowbird?
There was an article recently in the Palm Beach Post, a quote from her office, where they grudgingly admitted that I had done nothing illegal and that I had basically done my homework, and that while they felt that the website was irresponsible, which I found fascinating,
right,
the fact that they decided it was irresponsible, that their main concern was just in double voting,
right.
So it's irresponsible to come up with a strategy to beat the system, but
right,
it's not irresponsible to send Alan Keyes from Maryland to Illinois, where he never lived a day in his life,
right,
to run for Senate.
Yes, that is kind of interesting. Has Florida, in your knowledge, been doing anything to prosecute the alleged snowbird voters who were caught voting in Florida and New York?
Not to my knowledge. No.
Okay. And now, what you're talking about applies not just to people who live in Florida and New York, but who live in Florida and any other state, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's right.
You just mentioned Nevada. I had thought of Arizona as a state where a lot of northerners go during the winter as well, with a sparse sparse population and so on. Does any of this speak to you of a need for national registration on some for voters?
Well, I think that you know, the problem there is that people have always, because we have states' rights and so forth, and we're a republic, people have always been against like a national identification card or anything
right.
of that nature. The problem is pretty simple. The Electoral College is antiquated, and it's anachronism in today's society. The reasons for it don't no longer exist. The notion of, you know, poor communication and the necessity to elect electors to do the bidding of the masses, it just doesn't really make sense anymore.
I thought the need was to convince the smaller states to stay in the Union.
Well, that was also an issue back then.
Or join it.
That was also an issue. But there was a overriding concern that if they elected the president by popular vote, that there would be serious problems in determining who was the actual winner because of problems in communication from the outlying states.
Also, probably the question of mob rule, about which none of the founding fathers were particularly fond either.
That's correct. Now one could make the argument that if you had an election by popular vote, that in the 2000 election, when Gore won by approximately 500,000 votes, that you could end up with recounts in all 50 states.
Right. You mean if oh, okay. In other words, if it were a close popular vote,
sure.
You'd have to recount them all.
Well, I mean, in theory.
Right.
Because obviously the votes in every state would be critical.
Right.
So, you know, that is certainly theoretically possible. But I think the real solution is what probably what Colorado is doing, and what also previously Maine and Nebraska have, not exactly the same, but they have districts. They
right.
have like district electoral college voting, and I think that would make more sense, because it's the winner take all that's the problem. Because, for example, in Florida in 2000, everybody knew it was very, very close. There was no argument about that.
Right.
So if Florida had 25 electoral votes in 2000, the thing that made most sense was to give Bush 13 and Gore 12.
Right.
You know, the reason that we had this long protracted battle in Florida was because the prize was winner take all.
So in fact, if the prize were proportionally distributed,
you wouldn't need to have a big recount.
And the issue of a little bit more for the smaller states could still be maintained.
That's right.
In fact, because the electoral votes are equal to the number of senators plus the number of Congress members, and every state, according to that big Connecticut Compromise, I think it was called, each state gets two senators, however big they are.
That's right.
That's why states like Wyoming, which keeps coming up here, has three votes, because and so on.
Right.
And so if that were done, then the small states would still get their two Senate electoral votes, mm-hmm. and one or two or three, and the bigger states would have their proportion because they're more congresspeople, because they're more population, but it would be closer to the popular vote because it would reflect the proportion within the state.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the way it works today, the Electoral College is sort of the big casino.
Right.
And you know, like in this election, if you really boil it down, this entire election depends on three states: Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. The other states are important, the swing states, but basically, whoever wins two of those three states is going to be president. So, I mean, it is a little bit absurd.
Right. All right. How many people have signed up? Do people let you know when they do this, or they're
no,
just out there doing it and you don't know about it?
I specifically didn't want them to let me know because, again, I am an information conduit.
Right.
That's my role. You know, I can check the statistics on the site to see how many hits I'm getting.
Right.
And after the article ran in the Miami Herald and the Palm Beach Post, I really got a huge spike
right.
of hits, and I've answered as many questions of people who send me emails. But I don't want to know, you know, who's utilizing it, because that's not my role or my intent.
All right. Now, very briefly put, it's of course there's more about this on the site.
Oh, and very importantly, the deadline for registering to vote in Florida is October 4th.
So that's less than a week away.
That's right.
So people have to do it now or not do it.
That's correct.
How much of that can be done electronically?
You can, from the site, you can download the forms.
Right.
But you cannot electronically register. You can overnight the registration form to the county in which you wish to register.
So you can download the forms, fill them out with ink, and then mail them or overnight them to the county.
Right, and you have to ask for, if you're planning on being in a different state on election day, you also have to ask for an absentee ballot to be sent to you at the same time.
So, in fact, you can continue to reside in New York City on election day, but register to vote in Florida and get your absentee ballot and vote from New York in Florida.
That's correct.
And be perfectly legal.
And many people are going to do that.
Okay. If there's anything else you want to say, you can. Otherwise, I'll thank you very much for your time and for the information.
No, I just think that what this is all about is an opportunity for the country to take a good long look at the way we elect our presidents and maybe do our best to improve on that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And by the way, if Bush is defeated, are you going to feel you're vindicated for what happened in 2000?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with it. It's simply my way of attempting to bring to people's attention what a screwed up system we have of electing our presidents. And I mean, sure, I'm not a huge fan of John Kerry's, but I certainly would prefer him over George Bush.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for talking to us, and good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.